kids in Chucky's In Love, we teenagers question the changes we saw in one another, which often came down to love, young love. Aside from my brother's musical collection, I liked that he paid attention to the critics, as was apparent by the stack of Rolling Stone magazines and the pile of art reviews on his bedroom floor. I think he recognized the influence that critics and the media had on an artist's musical career. A strong review could make or break a career, as could a song with a pointed message, something that Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show sing so pointedly of in their signature tune on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills. But the thrill we've never known is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Yes.
Wanna see my smiling face?
Music comes to us in many ways and through many avenues, influences, and soundtracks. As the music's bass pounds through the ceiling of my neighbor's apartment above, I am called to reflect upon my childhood home and the music that sounded throughout. This calls me to think about who my brother was as a young man and how music, his music, came to inform who he would become.
When my brother was younger, as he made his way home from baseball practice, he'd often stop in at the Victoria Drive furniture store, the same store that sponsored his Little League baseball team. In the back of the shop, the store sold a selection of 45s, which, back in the day, were music singles that had been posted on the Billboard Hot 100 earlier that week. One such tune I recall from his 45s collection is the 1978 novelty song The Streak by Toronto actor Ray Stevens.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation. On the scene at the supermarket, there seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was just standing over by the tomatoes, and here he comes. Running through the pole beans, through the fruits and veggies, naked as a jaybird. Ethel's over there in the jams, jellies, preserves, and pickles. I hollered over there. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" She dropped a whole jar of kumquats and fell back into the sweet midget cider. Had us too late, she'd done been incensed.
Here he comes.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
Here he comes.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call.
With age, my brother moved on from hit singles to full-length 33 albums. As his collection grew and as he went through phases of listening to certain artists, so too did my awareness of music change and shift and grow, mostly from hearing his music through the walls of my family home. I recall him going through a Joe Cocker phase with the UK singer's version of the Beatle tune, A Little Help from My Friends.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk down? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Oh, baby, how you lie?
I'm
I don't know where my brother heard the music. Probably the radio, perhaps his friends, or like me, by osmosis. Regardless, he seemed up to date on current musical trends. Similarly, my parents and my older sister also followed musical trends in country music. There are many others in my life who have influenced my repertoire of music. They include friends, boyfriends, media outlets, movies, soundtracks, and of course the radio.
Of which Harry Chapin speaks to in Remember When the Music, a song that reflects how music impacted my young life.
Remember when the music came from wooden boxes strung with silver wire, and as we sang the words, it would set our minds on fire. For we believed in things, and so we'd sing. Remember when the music brought us all together to stand inside the rain, and as we joined our hands, we'd meet and then refrain. For we had dreams to live.
Somebody was always listening to music or tuning in to the local radio station. If it wasn't my parents listening to CKNW, my older sisters dialed in to CKLG or CFUN, while my brother tuned in to CFOX.
As for me, I listened to CFUN, hoping that eventually my favorite cover tunes and Billboard hits would be played, as is reflected upon in Queen's Radio Gaga.
We are drawn to a song's lyrics by the stories they tell and their reflection of our lives. We are also drawn to the various aspects of the music itself, the rhythm, the beat, the genre. In fact, in Musicophilia, Tales of Music and the Brain, Oliver Sacks suggests that there are inherent tendencies to repetition in music itself, such that our poetry, our ballads, our songs are full of repetition. Nursery rhymes and the little chants and songs we use to teach young children have choruses and refrains. We are attracted to repetition even as adults. We want the stimulus and the reward again and again, and in music we get it. Perhaps, therefore, we should not be surprised, should not complain if the balance sometimes shifts too far and our musical sensitivity becomes a vulnerability. It is therefore not surprising that we are drawn to stories and nursery rhymes as children and later to songs, music, and lyrics as teenagers. While we benefit through its influence on language and embodiment, we also benefit emotionally. Not only can it render us vulnerable, it also has the ability to lift us out of depression or move us to tears as a remedy, a tonic, orange juice for the ear, to express inner states or feelings, and to pierce the heart directly. That's another one of Sacks' quotes. Regardless of how music came into my life, because its ability to affect all lives is so dramatic, personal and experience specific, each song in my musical soundtrack somewhere, somehow informs my life.
I'm nothing special, in fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for
Studio 6, CGSS video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances and interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
Stunning, I'm gonna win.
As well as engaging conversations with community members about the issues that are most important to their communities.
There was a lot of triggering things, and so for me, what I want to do is want to make sure that I am carrying a message through most of my music, not all of my music, because I don't feel like it's my job. I'm not a musical activist.
Watch all of the Studio 6 live sessions on CJSF's YouTube page or on our website at cjsf.ca/studio6.
Up next, I have a radio documentary that was produced in 2015 as part of the Making Time for Radio documentary series that was produced through CJSF 90.1 FM radio station here in Canada. This documentary was funded in part by the Radio Fund of Canada and CJSF.
This is London. You will now hear a statement by the Prime Minister.
I am speaking to you from the Cabinet Room 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain's declaration of war on Germany had a great impact on the world. One of the listeners that day was Marianne Roach, a 10-year-old girl who lived on the Canadian prairies. In an isolated Canadian prairie town, where up until that point in time, her family's only source of news came in the form of a newspaper that her father got when he went into town once a month to pick up sundries at the general store. Little did she know that technology in her home was about to change her world.
I was about 10 years old, and it was so exciting. I had been in the hospital. And when I got home, they had this thing that talked.
In tonight's documentary, I'm speaking with Marianne Jorgensen, originally of McGee, Saskatchewan, a small prairie town south of Saskatoon. Following in the footsteps of her older sisters, Marianne left home as a young woman to seek training for a vocation. She chose to go to Rosetown, Saskatchewan, where she roomed with an older sister, Irene, while she got her certification as a hairdresser. After receiving her training and her certification, she moved on to bigger and better things. Like all great love stories, she packed her bags and headed west, where she was a hairdresser in downtown Vancouver for 3 years, up until the time she got married and eventually made her way to the United States, where she raised her 3 children. With radio being both a new technology and newly available to the masses, this was to be the first war that was widely broadcasted around the world. Because of this, it was exciting to anyone who tuned in. But here at home in Canada, it was especially exciting, because it kept people informed of what was going on at war and what was going on around the world. But it wasn't only coverage of the war that was so exciting and consoling for people. For the first time, listeners were experiencing entertainment coming into their homes through comedies and radio dramas and concerts. Having experienced the hardships and the depression that the Dirty 30s brought, people needed to laugh and they needed to just have some joy in their life. Aside from news coverage, it brought laughter back into the home, and it helped people forget about their worries just for a little bit, even if only for that 1 hour.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I don't know where you pick up all this information about me. Now, how did you find out that I bought a racehorse?
Well, Jack, I was talking to Bing Crosby the other day, and he just happened to mention it.
Oh, yes, Bing knows about it. As a matter of fact, I've been trying to put my horse in Crosby's stable, but it's too crowded.
Crosby has an enormous stable. There's plenty of room there for your horse.
All right, then he wanted too much money. I wouldn't pay him $80 a week to board my horse if he sang it to sleep every night.
Light up a lucky.
It's light up time.
Be happy, go lucky.
It's light up time.
For the taste that you like, light up a lucky strike.
Relax.
It's light up time.
Comedy and radio dramas of the 1930s gave everyone a reprieve from the dirty 30s and from the hard times and the hard days of working the land, and giving Marion's parents a night of laughter.
They loved it. Just the fun of having something to listen to. I always remember how we used to laugh at the things they'd put on radio.
Are you ready?
As soon as I get my hat, dearie.
Well, hurry up, Molly. This is the most important meeting since I've been chamber of the president of Congress, president of the Chamber of Commerce. Where's my speech?
In your portfolio.
Yeah, I know, but where's my portfolio? Oh, I know. It's right here in the hall closet. Straighten out that closet one of these days.
It was a common occurrence for Fibber McGee to go in search of something in the hall closet, only to end up with everything on his head. These skits were also lodged in Marion's memory.
Oh, I do remember that. That was close to my heart. It was our life in a way.
Aside from the entertainment that was much awaited in the homes, it was the evening broadcast and news of the war that brought families and neighbors together under the same roof, awaiting news in anticipation of loved ones fighting the war overseas.
Our neighbors were from England, and they just waited for that BBC news. See, that's British Broadcasting Corporation.
Right.
And they loved that because that was their hometown in England.
The mere presence of radios in many homes across Canada and the access to regular daily broadcasts not only brought news of the war, but essentially it changed people's lives.
It had a great effect on the parents. You know, so many getting, soldiers getting killed, and it was a sad time, really.
In Marion's case, as a 10-year-old girl, it gave her a wider scope of the world and made her think differently about that world.
Well, I knew there was trouble in it, that's for sure. You just wonder, what was going on?
Prior to Marion's exposure to radio in her home, newspapers were her sole source for entertainment and for news. However, once radio came into her life as the sole source for entertainment and news, things changed for Marion.
We got the newspaper, we read it. Of course, we could visualize things then, too. But when the radio came in, it was live, and it was much more interesting.
It's not always that you can have delicious things to eat and to save money at the same time, but sometimes you can. And Jell-O makes the most attractive desserts and salads you ever tasted, and Jell-O is amazingly inexpensive. It costs only a few cents a package. One package serves the average family generously, and they love it. Jell-O is America's favorite gelatin dessert, and no wonder. For only Jell-O brings you Jell-O's delicious extra rich fruit flavor. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. All six are packed with that ripe fruit goodness, fresh and tempting and satisfying. So for that extra rich fruit flavor, and for one of the most economical desserts you can serve, be sure to get genuine Jell-O. Don't accept any substitutes. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O.
Although television was available in a rather experimental form in the 1920s, it was after World War II that they became widely available for public consumption. And it was during the 50s that television became a primary medium for influencing public opinion.
What was it like for you when television came in? Did you find that it pushed radio aside?
Well, it did, but everybody still had their radio because they put it in the cars. And no matter where you went, you heard the radio, you know.
Like any new technology in history, it becomes the talk of the town. And it was no different for a small town girl on the Canadian prairie.
One person would have tell one thing that they saw on radio and somebody else would tell you something else. So in a way, it was kind of an education. It was our life in a way. It opened up the world to you.
As our conversation was coming to a close, Marion spoke of radio and how it had influenced the big picture of her life.
I think that's where I got the idea of being a hairdresser. They would have really good programs that you almost could visualize it in your head, you know?
And now a message from our sponsor. Ladies, tired of drying your hair with the same old vacuum cleaner? Try Avanshave brand new Beauty Locks portable hair dryer. It's smaller, it's faster, it's guaranteed to give you the hair you've always wanted in half the time. Beauty Locks is delicate and dainty, just like you. The dryer weighs only a pound and easily fits in your hand. Now that's beauty and convenience. With a speedy motor that will dry your hair in as little as 25 minutes, you can get gorgeous hair without falling behind schedule. Don't worry about the little ones or that pie in the oven. Thanks to an extra-long extension cord, you can move around while primping your locks. Forget those long trips to the salon and no more waiting for hours under monster machines. Avanshave gives you an easy and speedy hairdo that will blow your man away. Get it now at your nearest Macy's.
I've been talking with Marion Jorgensen of Vancouver, B.C., originally of McGee, Saskatchewan. We have been talking about how radio inspired her as a young woman to leave the farm and to go out into the world. How inspiring you are, Auntie Mamie. And now I believe it is time to say goodnight. So, say goodnight, Irene.
Yeah, goodnight. Thanks for tuning in.
What's that song?
Irene, goodnight, Irene.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, Irene.
I'll see you in my dream.
Goodnight, Irene.
I'm gonna take another stroll downtown.
Version of Goodnight Irene was recorded in 1950 by the Weavers. Although the origins of this song are not known, it's a song that was made famous by Lead Belly in the 1930s. This documentary was produced with the support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. The comedy skits have been from Fibber McGee and Molly, 1938, and Jack Benny, 1937. The radio commercials used in this documentary are from the 1920s and 1930s. Lucky Strike Cigarettes, Beauty Locks Hair Dryer, and Jell-O Desserts.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge. This has been Annie Roach with World Radio Day. And if you've missed any portion of tonight's show, you can always go to our website at www.cjsf.ca. Go to our schedule, scroll down to The Arts Edge, where you will find tonight's podcast. Tune in again next week for more stories and music at The Arts Edge, where we will be featuring the third and final week of Falling in Love with Love Songs, in which we are featuring Falling in Love at the Movies. Stay tuned to Girls So Groovy coming up next. And as always, I will leave you with one final tune. It's one of my very favorite songs from the 70s about music. And of course, I always heard this band on the radio. It's the Poppy Family, who resided in Vancouver. And they were a quartet with the lead singers Terry Jacks and Susan Jacks. It's a great song with Terry singing lead. Here we go with Rock and Roll. I gave you all the best years of my life. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful Valentine's weekend and happy Radio Day.
I can still remember when I bought my first guitar. I remember just how good the feeling was. Put it proudly in my car. And I played my friends 1,000 times my two-song repertoire. And I told my mom her oldest son was gonna be a star. I bought all the Beatle records and I tried to sound like Paul. I bought all the old Buddy Hollies, the 78s and all. And I sat by my record player playing every song they played. And I watched them all on TV, every move they made. Rock and roll, I gave you all the best years of my life. The dreamy sunny Sundays, all the magic moonlit nights. I was so busy in the back room writing love songs to you while you were changing your direction. I never even knew that I was always one step behind you. 66 seemed like the year I was really going somewhere. We were living in San Francisco with flowers in our hair, singing songs of kindness so the world would understand that the guys and me were something more than just another band. And then 69 in LA, well, it came around so soon, but we were really making headway and writing lots of tunes. And we must have played the wildest stuff we had ever played, 'cause the way the crowds yelled out for more.